In the world we live in, there's a lot of ways to approach life. There's very tangible ways, there's very ethereal ways. There's a lot of opportunities to experience life in a way that's very unique to you. Today I have Seth Dietlin coming back on to the show. Seth has the ability to talk to his angels, get advice, get understandings, get messages. For some people, that might seem very outlandish, and people might not understand that. To some people, that might be completely tangible and make a lot of sense. So today I'm having Seth come on to talk to us about how, as somebody that holds space for somebody, how do you create safety in a realm where people might not feel safe, might not feel safe, might not understand the opportunities that are there for them. So how do we create the space of safety to allow somebody to try something that might be outside of their scope of understanding? Now, we still have to have discernment. We still have, I think, healthy skepticism is a very beautiful thing to have, especially moving into these realms where there are potential quote unquote gurus or teachers or somebody that you may feel has your best interest in mind, but maybe doesn't have the best interest of yours in mind. So today we're going to talk to Seth about how to listen to our intuition. As a person that's seeking help, how do we listen to our intuition to discern whether or not this person, again, has our best interest in mind? And then, as a practitioner, how do you create a container of safety to make people feel that they feel heard, they feel safe, they feel loved, so that they can journey into some of these maybe ethereal realms or realms outside of their current standard of understanding life? We'll also talk about the New Earth prophecy that Seth is receiving messages from his angels about, and how maybe some of that information can be integrated into your understanding of life. Seth is a beautiful human being, a vast well of information, of knowledge, of approachability. We'll talk about his online courses that he has, the new podcast that he has coming out. So, a very beautiful conversation. Really honored to talk with Seth. Hope you get something out of the conversation. We'll see you on the other side. All right, welcome back to the show. Today I'm talking with the return guest, Mr. Seth Dietlin. Seth is just an amazing human being. I've had him on the show before, and we've been in communication quite a bit since then. Just projects he's working on, help that I need, whatever it is. Like, it's just a beautiful relationship that that this podcast has helped create, and I love that so much. And so Seth, the first time he came on, he talked about the New Earth prophecy, which is something that he talks a lot about in his Instagram posts, in his personal work, in his discourse, and the things that he does, which is just a fascinating concept to me, and I love talking about. And but the reason I asked him to come back today is, so Seth operates in a realm of the world and an understanding that maybe a lot of us don't understand and don't see as well. And I see that a lot, not just with Seth, but people in general. And you can have that from a spiritual lens, you can have that from a sociological lens, you can have that from whatever it is, right? Today we're going to talk about it more in that spiritual lens. And the reason I bring this up is because, you know, we meet a lot of people in this world that have different ways to view life, right? Some people like Seth can talk to angels. There's people that can access their spirit guides, right? Their spiritual family around them. There's people that can talk directly to spirit, you know, in some kind of way, right? There's all these different ways that people have found connections. And sometimes that can be a little off-putting because that's very different than the way that maybe somebody else views life. And it might be more eccentric than they view life, or more outlandish what they would consider than than life is viewed. So how do we create a safe space to where you can feel like you're opening yourself up to receive information that might be outside of your scope? Still keeping that healthy skepticism, because I think that's very important to have healthy skepticism in entering any of these realms. Because my favorite quote is, if you meet the Buddha on the road, kill the Buddha, right? Nobody has all the answers for you, but they can help you find the answers for yourself. So, how do you create a container for that as a practitioner that you can create a safe space for somebody to walk into something that they might not be fully understanding of what they're doing? But also, as a person that may be stepping into that realm, how do you use your own discernment to make sure that what is being said and what's being presented sits with you, or at least opens up a question that you can answer or start to marinate about? Lots of stuff. And then on top of that, we're just going to chat because Seth's an awesome guy and he's got just amazing things that he's working on. So before we get into it, Seth, Thank you for being here. You're the best. I really enjoy our conversations, my friend.
Thank you. And I love all of the amazing connectivity that we get to be a part of, because I know I introduced you to some people and vice versa. And I met you through introduction. And I think the best part of this to acknowledge is the synchronicity of interconnectivity of those of us who have answered a call to serve humanity at this time. Mm. And so we're all here for you, but we're all here in unity without some sense of competition. And we're all here with humanity's best interest at heart. Mm. And as I sit here and am present to the beautiful soul that introduced me to you, and then the introductions that we've made to each other, it's amazing how the network keeps growing and growing. And because of it, our capacity to serve grows with it.
Mm-hmm, most definitely. You just said something amazing, and it's unity without competition.
Yeah.
And I think that is such a beautiful, beautiful statement to make, because, you know, there's a phrase that I was introduced to a little while ago, and it's every single human is unique, but nobody's special, right? We all have unique qualities that make you Seth, that make me Adam, that make my brothers, my brothers, whoever it is, right? That's unique to you and your constitution, your character, the way you were raised, nature, nurture, all that shit, right? Spiritual constitution, all that stuff. But if we feel like I have all the answers, and it's like, then there's that competition starts to happen. It's like, no, you need to see reality in my way, right? No, I need to see it in your way, or whatever it is. It's like, how can we embrace the uniqueness that we all hold, but not let it go to our heads and think that we're like, oh, I'm special because I can do this, right? That makes me special. That makes you unique, and that's beautiful. Lean into that uniqueness, but don't let it go to your head.
And that does happen. That is true. And yet there's a wave of change that's happening.
Right.
And we can feel when there is a sense of just being there to serve. And it's not to say that when we do that, that it's without conflict, because I get lots of interesting emails and direct communications that are not pleasant at all after triggering people. Yeah. And I understand that that's kind of part of the gig here. It happens once in a while, and so to send people light and love and be like, okay, you're on your journey.
Right.
But there's a piece of all of this, yes, that is very wonderful and a joy to serve. It's a joy also to watch people make amazing transformations or realizations. That is also very joyful. And then there's also a piece of this where you get to trigger people, and that's also part of their healing as well, and part of yours.
Right. And that's such a beautiful gift. And it's a hard thing to understand, is that being triggered, like knowing you don't have any idea what your triggers are until all of a sudden you're triggered. And it's like, oh shit, I just said that thing or showed up in this way that I'm not proud of. So how do I not guilt myself, but take that as a lesson to say, okay, how do I show up differently next time? How do I change this pattern that I found myself in?
Yeah. And, you know, there's a couple examples of that. For example, I have been doing a lot of podcast interviews about creating quantum relationship with finances. And I got a scathing email from someone, because after talking about ways to integrate a new relationship with abundance and money, the person was really upset because they went to my website and discovered that I charged for my services. And they said, how can you charge for your services if you have a quantum relationship with money, not realizing that that was a part of it.
Right.
And also I've had to recently, you know, set boundaries. I created a community that's for, you know, synergy and that sort of thing. And I had people trying to sort of direct message me for support and insight and things like that. And I've had to set boundaries with them, because they encroached a boundary, which that wasn't what the community was for. But what ultimately ends up being the case is that I know that they're in a bad place, but I have to tell them I'm not available for this in this capacity. So we get to have all of these different conversations as well. That's part of the transformation. But then what happens is that we understand when we triggered somebody that it's part of their healing as well.
Yeah.
And sometimes when that happens, I was like, oh, okay, then we're really doing this.
Right. Yeah. And I was just having a conversation with my brother the other day, and he was telling me that he was at a funeral and for a close friend of ours. And while he was at that funeral, his ex-girlfriend's parents were there, and he hadn't seen them in many years, probably 20 years. And he was telling me that he kind of shut down at that and was like, he made sure he kept distance from that group, didn't make eye contact, was very aware they saw him and he saw them. You know, they knew each other, saw each other, but was very much not wanting to approach that right then. You know, funeral, all that stuff, emotions, you know, honor your constitution. But when I was talking to him about it, the way he presented it was, I'm really sad about the way I showed up. I really wish I could have done something different, and I'm really upset with myself for not doing what I, you know, XYZ. And I told him, I'm like, hey, you had no idea. You haven't seen that group of people in 20 years. You had no idea what that feeling would be, and you weren't expecting it. So that's one of the biggest gifts you can have, is to be triggered unexpectedly, because you didn't, maybe you thought you were past that. And now there's that little inkling of like, oh, there's some work to be done, right? And taking that as an opportunity rather than taking that as like a, wow, I guess I'm not as far along as I thought. Well, that's your opportunity to do something about it, because you didn't know until
Right.
you know.
Well, when we're done here, we'll know because we'll be gone because
Yeah.
this is a school. So there's always something to develop and expand within, of course.
Yeah.
And there's no sort of expectation that it all be done. And once it is, we won't be here anyway to actually get the trophy or whatever's attached to
Yeah.
that. So it's all
Yeah, I'm
good because
patting
there's
myself on the
this,
back as I'm disappearing from this realm, you know?
I'll just take the disappearance. But the yeah, and that is interesting. And I think definitely part of that is actually a reflection of self-acceptance and self-love, which is understanding that not only do we have the compassion to see that other people are doing the best that they can, but also having that for ourselves as well, that we're doing the best that we can.
Yeah.
And when we do get something that gets triggered, we get an opportunity to expand from it. Hopefully, we do that. You know, one of the latest things that we really are immersed in is taking things and seeing them as things that happen for us instead of things that happen to us. So the minute that they come in, maybe after a second of resistance for not liking what showed up, we pretty quickly go into this place of, ooh, I wonder in what way this is expanding me. I wonder what gift is connected to this. And then we do that and we discover it very quickly as well. And after enough of these experiences where we see that nothing is what it appears to show up as, then we're eager to open up the gift wrap, if you will, when something shows up and we can pivot through it. And the best thing that positions us to do that is grace for ourselves.
Yeah.
Because once we actually get that grace for ourselves that says, I can be who I am, and whether that measures up to some sort of metric I put for myself or not, at least I can give myself the grace to understand that I am in a process.
Right. Yeah. I'm unfortunately faced with that experience right now. My significant other of 8.5 years, and I've decided to separate. And you know, hard, terrible, emotional, all that stuff, right? There's still a lot of love between us. We didn't have any bad thing that happened. You know, it was just disagreement on kids, having kids or not. But to that point you just made, though, is so it happened. I went into my sadness, you know, my reaction was sadness. It was like, okay, Adam, okay, yeah, cry, definitely. Feel your emotions, but what's your healthy thing you can do right now? Go sit with yourself. Go sit and meditate, right? Focus your thoughts, do the thing, right? And as I'm sitting in that meditation, you know, as hard as it is, and as you know, uncertain as things still are and all this stuff that's happening, there was a voice that came into my head that was like, Adam, you're witnessing an opportunity of your knowledgeable evolution of life, right? Your growth in life has never happened with you sitting on a beach watching the waves. So you appreciate that and you see the beauty and love in that, right? But that's not where your growth happens. That's where like the stability happens after the growth, right? Your growth happens when you're getting dragged through the mud or you're hitting your proverbial rock bottom. So embrace and understand that this is a point of change for you. And as hard as it is, and experience the emotions, don't ignore them. Embrace the understanding that this can be the catalyst to the most beautiful thing that's ever happened in your life, getting through this to get to the another thing, right? And so it's that constant reminder of like, this is happening for me, not to me, right? I see my space and what I've contributed to the dissolvement of this relationship, and I can't do anything about what I perceive as her side. I can only do what I perceive as my side. And that other side of that is loving myself for the mistakes that I feel like I've made so that I could love myself into making better decisions in the future, right? And not guilting myself for being like, oh, I didn't do that. Oh, I'm a piece of shit, or whatever it is, right? So it's you know, taking that lesson that's learned and applying it and honoring the emotions that support that decision without getting bogged down by the emotions that kind of surround it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who can relate to some situation where they feel that they've come to an impasse, say, about something, and after investing themselves in something, whether it's their work or a relationship or whatever, something that's really important to them, they're at this space of shift and change, where they're realizing what they've invested in is going a different direction. And there's a certain feeling of loss that's connected to that as well.
Yeah.
And when we experience that firsthand, it certainly does line us up for being able to serve others who are also in that space. Because I'm certain that you've probably recognized that a lot of people that are coming to your offerings right now are now going to be people who on some level find themselves in a similar pattern of shift and change. And it's interesting how we all kind of come together in a way where we create synergy in that. So you have something to offer them, but then in that exchange, they have something to offer you as well. And I know when we first sat down here before we started recording, we were talking about channeling per se. Mm-hmm. And the thing I love about channeling the angels is that none of this comes from me, but it comes through me. And they have so much next level information that when it's coming through, I'm like, whoa, I need to take a note of that, right? And so even when people come to me for one-on-one sessions, a lot of times they're coming to me in a situation that has a parallel to something that I'm experiencing as well. And as I'm channeling the angels to guide them or to give them insight in their situation, I'm like, ooh, got to write this down because that was for me as well. But you'll notice that we have this way of meeting each other in a space where we're in that place, where we're in that place of discovery. And it's so wonderful how you are in the unity of the collective soul that we all are, that in a certain way we sort of accumulate around those that are going through something similar, they for us and us for them.
Yeah.
And mutuality of empowerment.
Yeah, that synchronicity is it kind of scared me in the beginning when I first started seeing clients and sitting across from a client that's, you know, professing basically the exact same thing I'm going through.
Yeah.
Just give me a different perspective. And then as the advice, like you said, as the advice I'm giving to them that's coming from somewhere else through me, I'm like, oh my God, no, that's for you too. Adam, write that down because you need to do that yourself. And it's that beautiful kind of lens that you know, we can keep that lens of how do I help the human across from me without being emotionally involved with that, right? But how do I now in turn look at myself in that same mirror and say, am I actually emotionally involved in myself, right? Have I taken this advice for myself in some kind of way, or how can I? Because clearly, this person is put across from me for a reason. Like, I love that synchronicity idea that everything is happening for a reason. Like that community is created for the people that need that community at that point in time.
Yeah.
Right. The information share, the understandings that are had.
And that's the magic of the universe. That is the magic of relationships. That's the magic of potent relationships in that regard, is because there is an aspect of our unity or the collective being that we are, where the perceived separate beings that we are support that collective being that we are. And we watch that in action. I think it can be mind-blowing to see in what ways that continues to support and serve, which is also why we're equally invested in other people as we are ourselves, because other people are ourselves. And that's one of the things that we feel, especially those of us who are empathic, are those of us who actually have a sense of pronounced knowingness around the unity of what we are. And I think that's this good way of actually taking us into the discussion that you want to have, which is about living in a container where we have a healthy skepticism about things that come in, things that are inbound that are visionary or revolutionary to what we already know. And one of the things that I've realized, everything that's come in for me since I started communicating with the angels, it always went through a system of checks and balances. It had to make sense. It had to be authenticated to a certain way, and not through scientific mechanism, but it had to make sense. So if something comes through, which is a revolutionary new way to create reality, I literally have to see it create reality for me in order to trust that I can share it with other people, right? I'll give you a good example. So one of the ways that the angels share with me that we create abundance in our world is that we see ourselves as a container. Instead of seeing abundance as substance that is external to us, that comes to us, we are see ourselves as a container that is constantly being filled to capacity by an unlimited source. So in order to increase the capacity that we have and thus our abundance, then we focus on the container that we are, as opposed to focusing on externalizing abundance. Well, I played with that for a little while, and so I worked with it, and I noticed that it works 100%. And then I discovered all these different ways that we increase the size of our container. So good examples of this, first of all, to concretize the container and filling from an unlimited source, it would be like going to Niagara Falls with either a teacup or a 10-gallon jug. Which would you suppose is going to be filled with greater capacity, right? The 10-gallon jug. Well, the source is not responsible for the ebb and flow that we experience, because it is infinite, like the waterfall. It just keeps flowing, and it keeps flowing with no fluctuation in the capacity that it has to offer. And that's our source. And what happens when we increase the size of our container is that we get to have the capacity for more. And ways that we can do that is investing in ourselves, is caring for other people, is acting as if we're the divine in generous ways and things like that. And so I had experiences with that where I would do the things that the angels would tell me would increase my container. And then I would see an upflow in abundance literally immediately. And so there is a way of actually seeing, wow, this really works. So for example, one of the things that really works is investing in ourselves. So that means taking courses or reading a book or maybe working out with a trainer. Maybe it's taking the piano lessons or the dance lessons that we want. Anything that expands us, expands the size of our container. And it'll be interesting because I'll come across a course that might help me with what I'm trying to do. And without thinking, I think, oh, I'm going to invest in myself and expand through this knowledge. And I may not even have the last four digits of my credit card number in to sign up for the course. And I'm getting an email that someone has just signed up for my course, or that someone has just booked a one-on-one session with me as a wonderful way. And it could be somebody I've never heard of before. And it's a wonderful way of realizing, oh, okay, so this does work. So we piece these things together, yes, with a healthy sense of skepticism, but those of us who have a lot to offer in a way of insight that is next level have done some experimentation with it to make sure that it can be authenticated in such a fashion like that first, before we offer it out for public consumption.
And that's so beautiful. I mean, it's that I think to me that's I don't want to use the word responsible because that's self-defined, but I think that's a very responsible way to approach that. Like, okay, I've just been given this message or this understanding, this new way of being, whatever it is. Let me beta test this first, instead of just like running it up the flagpole, like, hey, I just had one medicine experience, saw God, everybody, this is what God looks like. Well, maybe you should have three or four more experiences before you go touting what God looks like,
Yeah.
figure it out, right? But, I think so the where I've seen, I don't want to categorize people, but I've seen like two very dramatic sides of this, right? Where you have the person that is the not healthy skeptic, just the extreme skeptic, and it's like, ah, you can't do shit. I don't know what that is, blah, blah, blah. And then you have the other side that's like, tell me everything I need to do. Clearly, you talk to the angels. I'll do anything you say. Please just guide me, right? So you have the most malleable person with no discernment at all, and then you have the person that is so set in their ways that they're not allowing new information to come in, right? And
Yeah.
so, and those are two very extremes, but those are both extremes that I'm sure you've dealt with. I've personally dealt with myself. And so maybe, that person that's just like so desperate to feel something and so desperate to get an answer that they just prostrate themselves in front of you. Seth, tell me what to do. Tell me what the angels tell me. I'll do anything. Like, is there like, there's a level of, okay, cool. Like, yes, I'm glad that you're open to this, but there's still the way that this works with you. It's not just verbatim, this is what you do, go do it. Take this in, sit with the information, make sure it makes sense to you, right? So how is that kind of something that you approach for
Yes.
the overzealous spiritual person,
Well, and I love that you preface by saying non-categorization. And the one way that somehow or another I became accustomed to sharing what comes through is the minute it comes through, I always ask, check in with your body. Does that resonate with you? Does that make sense to you? And the reason is that our body speaks to us in a way that lets us know what our intuition is telling us. So all of us have a way that our body registers information as true or not. And here's a good example of how that elevates when we elevate awareness. What's the first thing that people stop doing when they start getting really intuitive? They can't watch the news anymore. Because when you watch the news, you already know that the information is not authentic because your body is just like rejecting the information that's coming in because your intuition is telling you that's not true. Without that intuition, you could just take and go, oh, okay, great, that happens. Oh, that's happening, or it's like that, or whatever. But when you become intuitive, when your intuition starts to expand, when your awareness starts to expand, anything that comes to you that's inauthentic, you can feel something that feels like it's kicking it out, that's rejecting it. Conversely, when something comes in that seems incredible that you've never heard of before, and you hear it, all of a sudden your body starts to feel like it's flowing like a fountain. Now, we've become accustomed in a certain way to now filtering information with the response in our resonance or in our frequency. So information will either resonate or it'll be dissonant, which is the opposite of resonating, and it will have one or the other effect, and we have a visceral response to it. So whenever I share information that's coming through, whether it's in a one-on-one situation or if it's in group channeling courses that I've been asked to or guided to create with the angels, then I always ask people along the way to take a deep breath in and out so that they stay connected to that space. Now, whenever I start any one-on-one session, I always actually have people put their focus on their heart. And the reason that I do that by starting the session off that way is because when the information comes through, there's two parts of it. One is being able to resonate with it. And the second is a kind of an echo effect of information. So let's say you're doing an intuitive session with me and you've told me something about there's a relationship in your world that's doing this. Well, in addition to hearing you say that, I'm going to light up inside and immediately become aware of who you're talking about. So in a certain way, the intuition that we're accessing isn't ours per se, or our separate pile of intuition. Our intuition is part of a sort of a collective soup or ocean that we're in. So the same field of awareness that I could be accessing to empower or guide someone is the same field of awareness that that person is in as well. So when it comes through, they would be equally connected to it. And by doing that, I give people an opportunity to actually connect with the source instead of letting me be the source. So when other people say certain things to us and then it bounces off of our awareness as authentic or not, they're actually serving our own awareness. And I like to keep that in mind when I do my work, because basically what I'm doing is I'm serving their awareness and I'm not serving them with my awareness. And that's a wonderful way to make sure that information can come in. And yes, there are people who feel that whatever we live in, this sort of flattened version of the world with oceans filled with plastic and all power lines all over the place and greed and corruption everywhere, that that is all there is. And that's okay, because in that case, perhaps they made a soul agreement to see it that way, go back, come back, and live something where they get to see something different or more expansive. And it's okay. It doesn't mean that what's outside of the boundaries of that isn't real. It just doesn't apply to them. And that's okay. I don't ever spend any of my energy convincing people that what we access in the space that's outside of everything that we see or that's allegedly shown to us through science. And it's weird because science is always like, ooh, 1 minute cholesterol is good for you, 1 minute it's not. Yeah. 1 minute the world's flat, the next minute it's round, and then it's flat again, right?
So oh, yeah.
Which one is it? I don't know. So even all of everything that we use to measure things, but at any rate, my dad says something funny, you know, because we talk about how we know the distance from us to the sun, and my dad says, well, as soon as someone gets out a tape measure and can tell me how far it is, then I'll actually believe them with some sense of absolute, some absolute sense.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But I don't ever spend any of my energy trying to win people over to this side of the discussion. People come over on their own because people are very curious now. And I definitely see that the changes that have happened in what appeared to be absolute at some point, the drastic changes that have appeared in that container, has made people very curious, shall we say, cue the evil hands. it's made us all very, very curious about what's behind the curtain, right?
I think that's the reason why I wanted to approach this, is that there are so many people, and myself included. Like I've only embraced this life and this way of thinking, this expansion of whatever it is inside of me for the maybe 10 years, right? And you know, since I think COVID was a big catalyst for a lot of us just to quiet down and listen to how unhappy we are. And a lot of spontaneous empathy is spawned from, you know, the COVID crisis and all that stuff. So, but there are so many people now that are approaching healers in some kind of way or their own personal healing that may not have given it any kind of credence or any kind of weight in the past. And some of it's out of a desperation of finally hearing that scream inside of them and like, I'm not fucking happy. Some of it's, you know, the mass curiosity. You know, I think the decriminalization of plant medicines through a lot of the states in the continent has helped people start to maybe try something that they once thought was illegal, but they were curious about, that they didn't want to try because they didn't want to go to jail. But now the legality side is taken away from it, and it opens it up. And that might have expanded some consciousness that they didn't know that they needed expansion. Now they have questions that they didn't know they had before. You know, so having that space that can be held, right? Like you were saying, I'm not going to convince you, right? That's not my job, right? I've come to the understanding of what the information base and the way that I gather that within myself, and I feel good and I feel confident. Do I feel like it's going to expand and change still? Yeah, and that's why I'm very conscious and aware of it, right? I'm not hard set. This is how I talk to my angels now, and that's never going to change. Bullshit, right? That's definitely going to change. Right. So how do we make sure that the person that might be very timid to ask a question about God or spirit or angels, that person that's proverbially dipping a toe into their something that they have no idea about, you know, and it's that same thing. It's like, how do I share the information without like compromising my beliefs to convince you of something that I feel is going to be good for you, but is also something you have to find on your own.
Right. Well, here's an interesting thought as well, because what made me curious about the angels is something that awakened in me. And then the curiosity was never satisfied with information. And I don't mean that it was dissatisfied. What it meant that it was so expansive that every piece that I got made me compelled or hungry for more information. More information, more information. And so going on that journey to be fed with that information was something that just happened inside me. Nobody came to me and said, you know, you can talk to angels or anything like that. In fact, the funny thing is I used to go to psychics for years, and they'd tell me I was psychic and they'd tell me that I had gifts, and I'd be like, I'd leave the reading and be like, oh, that's BS. I don't have that. They tell me I was powerful, and I'd be like, yeah, no, I don't believe that. But, you know, I was successful at my work, and I thought, okay, well, then maybe I'll buy that. And it is funny, because this happened just yesterday. My husband is traveling with a few of his friends, and he wanted to know if he should get travel insurance for like a 6-day trip that he's going with a couple of his friends to Paraguay.
Okay.
And I said, no, I don't think so. I don't think you should. I go, I never get travel insurance, and I never find that I need to. He goes, yeah, but you have the angels. And the funny thing is, and the reason why that's funny is because he's not in this world with me at all.
Okay.
And I actually never check in with him about what he observes, about the authenticity of my work, but lately he's been mentioning the angels and noticing that miracles seem to happen frequently, and or the fact that I have really good luck, which kind of brings me to the whole point of when you do open up to this new information and somehow or another, mistakenly, the way that you shift into living a more powerful version of your life becomes apparent to those that are close to you, right? Now, I will say this. Sometimes I question, my husband doesn't have a mean bone in his body.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why not him? Because he's a lot more of an unconditionally loving person. I do my best, but he has this sort of effortless way of being kind of like a St. Francis type soul. And it surprises me, but I told him, I said, well, you have the angels too. You just don't realize it, right? And we let people be where they're at. And this is also a great example of how unimportant it is to convince someone, because some people will come to me and say, Well, my significant other isn't into this. That's okay. Because a lot of us that are on this journey get divinely paired with people who appear not to be. And that's for good reason,
Right.
because it doubles up in the way that light is conducted in the world. Because if you have, or when you have, two people who are awake with each other, you know, they're conducting light with each other, but they're already light conductors
Right.
anyway. And then you bring in other people. And eventually, somehow or another, to whatever degree, the people that are around us, we're not meant to separate ourselves from people because they're not on our same journey, but they are starting to become more and more curious,
Yeah.
right? Because they see that something's happening here. They see that you're not worried about what's going to happen in the world. They see that things seem to always work out in your favor, or they see that you have a peaceful way of seeing everything that happens to you, and then they want a piece of it, and they're entitled to it. And when they become curious about it, then they can open themselves up to it. But again, I don't really feel it necessary to introduce it to anyone unless they already have the curiosity. That's when they usually find us.
Right.
They already have the curiosity, and they can see that somehow or another you're tapped into a bit of information that they're ready to receive. And I don't see myself as a source of information. I see myself as a channel of it. And that's what's different, because when people come to whatever it is that I'm being asked to channel, they are already ready to receive and know
Yeah.
that bit of information. It's already inside of them being queued up for them to expand in it. And it doesn't come from me, it comes from source. And in a way, it's sort of being given or blessed with something that you're meant to distribute, but you're meant to distribute it to those who are ready for it. So I'm not ever teaching anybody. I call myself a facilitator,
Yeah.
because I'm being equally gifted with the information, but as I am gifted with it, I share it.
Yep. And actually, the point you made earlier about not your husband being in a separate spiritual place than you are,
Yeah.
and finding ourselves in those type of relationships, whether platonic, sexual, whatever it is, I think that isn't that the basis of a charge is a positive and a negative working together to create power, right? So if you have two positives or two negatives, they don't counteract each other, so they don't create that charge.
Well,
You know, and
yes,
that's like, go ahead, sorry.
you need the diversity for sure.
Yeah.
And I actually don't see him in a separate space as me. I just see him as having something that's more distinctive, because you'll meet him one day when we get him here from Brazil, but you'll find yourself in the presence of one of the most loving human beings that you've ever met. And I mean that not just because, I mean, I feel lucky to get to know this human being, because I rarely run across people who have this pure of a connection to their heart and don't even know it. And there are so many people out there who might not be talking to angels. They might not necessarily be channeling information for other people, but they are so loving, so generous, and so caring. Same thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah, most definitely. I love that. That's a beautiful statement too. I mean, that shows the approach of life. And you had mentioned earlier, it kind of sounded like you were wrapping up the idea of reincarnation. But people being on their journeys and being allowed to be on their journeys and not allow like I don't need to force my opinion on your journey, because in the idea of reincarnation, you have to live that life and you have to experience that good, bad, indifference to help your soul understand where it's going, right? And so sometimes we have to be the aggressor in life. Sometimes we have to be the racist person in life. I'm not okaying any of that by any means, but sometimes that's the journey that human has to be on in this idea of reincarnation for them to get that full understanding of the emotional spectrum of their life so they can be the full soul that they need to be, again, in that idea of reincarnation. So that doesn't mean you have to allow that person's vehemency or negativity in your life, but that just might be the journey that they're on at this point, right? And you're doing you've got, your piece or your thing that you've created. And if that person you know, chooses to step towards you and open up themselves, and great. But to seek people out and be like, you need to be better. You need to be good. Stop having those thoughts. Don't say that thing. It's like, come on, man. We can't police the fucking world. And sometimes we don't know what we're doing until we've done it wrong. Right. I have no idea that I was the asshole until finally I did the thing. And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm the asshole. Oh, man, that's brutal. And that was an opportunity for that trigger we talked about earlier to be like, oh, cool. Yeah. Now let's go and unpack that, Adam. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Use that as a catalyst.
Yeah. And, you know, there's also colloquialisms that we become accustomed to that we may not be aware that they're rooted in something that is not necessarily acceptable to us. And then we use it because it's a colloquialism and because it's come to mean something different than what it originally meant. And the intention isn't there as well. So you have all kinds of, you know, different ways where that can be the case. Mm-hmm. And yet at the same time, what you're talking about is our Akashic records and our Akashic agreements. And we do have an agreement to have a very specific experience here. Mm-hmm. And for some of us, it may be to come down here to be an accountant and to maybe be by ourselves and struggle with loneliness. And then maybe we leave here at 53 years old or something like that. And that may be exactly the agreement that we had with life. But the complexity of the agreement that we each made, since we are the same being, we sort of made a bit of a great big real live movie that's happening here. And we do each have to play different roles, or we are designed to play different roles. Otherwise, we're not living our actual, you know, Akashic design. Now, within the Akashic design, it's interesting because one of the things that I've channeled from the angels is that we have several levels. We don't just have one. And the higher one is accessible when we wake up consciously, and that's where things change. Mm. And this is why we'll wake up consciously and suddenly, like, for example, I was a real estate agent, and the first thing I became aware of is that it didn't suit me. And now I do, you know, this, I work with light and do this work. And it's funny because that happens all the time when people wake up consciously, whatever it is they're doing, they realize that it doesn't fit them or their journey anymore, that they've jumped on another timeline where something else is available to them. And the only way they access the guidance to it is through intuition. Whereas the ones that might be the middle ground or the middle paths, we can access through the linear mind, like planning, like, ooh, I'm going to go to accountant school and then I'm going to become a CPA and then I'm going to do people's taxes until I turn 60 and then I'm going to retire, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it already has a linear planning to it, which is fine and applicable. But then when we wake up consciously, everything gets pinged to us through intuitive nudges as we go along. And then it ends up being some sort of more expansive journey of some sort. I'm not saying better, but we definitely have a lot more fun, and we definitely have a way that we get to live in an experience that offers a lot more in the way of joy, satisfaction, fulfillment, and perspective in a way. But it also has to encompass that it's okay to have the other part of it still there, that it's still part of the thing, that not everything has to be upgraded. When we move into the new earth, there will be a lot that will be upgraded, and a lot will be upgraded in a certain way. There will still be a way that things will be. And I'm not saying that there will still be an element of the stuff that's over with, but there will be a way that all of this gets upgraded in a certain way, but not everything gets upgraded all at once. And there isn't meant to be just one way of seeing, because there's actually not one truth, mm-hmm. because each of us have a different objective that we're meant to accomplish according to our soul agreements. And our soul agreements are a way of casting us in the different roles, because we're actually a united being.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's a really important message too. It's like, you know, as much as, let's say we want things to change, we want the world to be less economically driven, less capitalistic, less racist, less sexist, whatever, right? So a lot of our systems that we've currently created are entrenched in that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that's right, but that's just the way it is, right? So If we just blew up the theory, blow it up to rebuild it, right? If we went through and just said, okay, now everything's going to change. We're all going to be holistic. We're all going to be spiritual. We're all going to do all this shit and all this stuff, right? That might be good for a group of people, but that's also going to be bad for a group of people, right? And so how do it's that slow organic shift, right? It's not forcing people into a place they're not ready to be yet. And not to say that I'm in a better place than somebody else, right? But I'm ready to be in this space. I'm ready to explore this space. Other people might not be ready for that. They're okay with, their 9 to 5 jobs. They're, going to go into a box when they die and become soil and feed the trees. Great. That's awesome, right? So it's not forcing people into a belief system that you feel that they should be in. It's allowing them to understand that they want to embrace that belief system. And that can be whatever it is, because when we force people into a state of being and belief, they're not ready for it. They're compromising a lot of the values they feel are still very strong within them. And if you're compromising those values, they're still going to sit there and nag at you as you're doing something wrong, right? So it's that gentle nudging. It's that holding space, like we talked about earlier, that how can I just be here with open arms so that when somebody's ready to come in for that hug, I'm just there waiting for them. I'm not forcing them over there. I'm not saying, come on to me. I've got good hugs, man. I'm going to give you a big pat on the back, all that shit. It's just being there whenever that person's ready to experience it.
And that is the language that we do speak in common, his love. And that's the important piece of it in understanding how we reach people, especially, is just through love. And there are some of us that may be ready to expand in our capacity to be aware of love through maybe understanding timeline shifts and Akashic agreements and things like that, because it does expand us in the capacity that we have to hold our awareness of love. And there are some people who are just naturally good at it just by being loving beings and being generous with it. And it really does come down to it because that's the common language. And interestingly enough, it's also the way that we can take the aspects of our lives that we don't idealize or that aren't ideal, and we can actually say, ooh, I love that. I love that I lost everything and had to do 2 bankruptcies or this, that, and the other thing. I love that I had this setback. Because when we send love to it, we actually send healing energy to it. And then, yeah, and this is again part of the discussion that you wanted to have here today, which is about creating that wonderful container where life can be a bit richer in a certain way. And I know that for those of us listening to this conversation who have opened up to a more conscious perspective and have increased our capacity, we can't just sit around and do things that are bring us back, let's say, right? And a good example of that is the conversations that we can have. We can have these wonderful, expansive conversations with each other. But then let's say you stop and have a conversation with someone you really love. And a conversation is like, how are you? I'm good. How's the weather in Chicago today? Oh, well, it's snowing. How's it in Southern California today? Well, it's sunny and 75 as usual. Well, oh, that's good. And it ends up being like a linear conversation in that way, which is one thing. But the point to that is that the capacity that we've gained, we certainly can't necessarily give it up in a way. But that doesn't mean that everyone is enriched by that richness. But bringing that in is a wonderful way. And we all bring it in differently. We all bring it in differently. I know that one of the triggers that I'm always surprised by, to be quite honest with you, I'll mention something about talking to the angels. And then someone who is religious will say, ooh, well, wait a second here. And I never can understand where that comes from because I don't understand where the angels and being able to communicate with the divine realm is antithetical to religion. It's just another space outside of it. But I don't understand it, but I sometimes encounter this aspect, right? So there is a richness that's available when you can utilize what is available inside of religions, which is teachings about love and things like that. And there's an added level of richness that you can experience by what is not in that container, what that container limits its availability. And to a certain degree, a lot of us have outgrown what's in the container. It's kind of like being transplanted in a certain way. But you don't know it until you're doing it, and there's a certain way. But the resistance that comes from not understanding it is something that we can experience because people have different perspectives.
So I wasn't sure if I was gonna have an opportunity or even want to share this part of my what I'm gonna share right now, but I'm listening to my intuition, and where you've guided me in this conversation is just open that door. And so, intuition and containers, right? Just to piggyback on what you said. So, I've done a lot of self work on myself, and I've hold a lot of space, like, create a lot of containers for people. And but we're always expanding, we're always growing, like as people, as humans, as experiences, all that stuff. And one thing that my personal journey has always kind of revolved around supporting is my jaded past with religion, right? My parents were never forcefully in religion. I just, my upbringing allowed for a lot of stereotypes to be placed around a religion, whether hypocrisies that I've experienced personally or just things that I've, all this stuff, right? I just got a lot of twisted stuff around religion. But through my spiritual journey, I've worked with that, and I understand a little bit more. So in my journey, plant medicines have been a thing that have been very, very prominent with me, helping me kind of unpack a lot of the shit that I've got going on in here, whether psychologically or ritualistically. And but psilocybin has been that main journey for me, right? Mushrooms of sorts. And I've had an egoic desire, and I know that it was an egoic desire to sit with ayahuasca, because I'm like, well, if psilocybin can do this, what can ayahuasca do for me? So my ego was like, cool, we're gonna do this. Luckily, my intuition was starting to grow at the time, and my intuition was like, slow it down, bro, right? Slow it down. Just because Dr. Dre is doing ayahuasca and you see it all over the TV doesn't mean that's your jam, right? Listen to the medicine that's working with you right now. Stay in that lane. You're good. And I had a person that he's been on the podcast named Ben, that I met randomly, and he about 3 or 4 years ago, and he runs a church that is sits with what they call the Santo Daime, and it's the ayahuasca church, right? And they sing Portuguese hymns, and they sip ayahuasca, and they have these big religious experiences with Christian singing and all this stuff, right? And that was super triggering to me. I'm like, nope, sorry, that makes me feel icky, because all the religious aspect of it, and even though they're singing in Portuguese, I wouldn't understand it. Just no. And then that opportunity was presented to me again. And then the opportunity was presented to me again. And so it's like, okay, so listen to your intuition. This opportunity for you to sit with this type of medicine and this type of sitting situation has presented itself to you in a number of times, right? And the people that have presented it to you, if you look back, they feel safe. You feel safe. They're using verbiage that makes you feel understood, right? You're just battling that religion aspect of it. But this medicine is clearly speaking to you and speaking to you in this way. So third time's a charm. I sat with this medicine the other day with this container that was one of the most beautiful, safe containers I've ever been a part of. There were 17 of us singing our asses off, guy playing guitar, had a ayahuasca padrino that was running the whole thing. And it was such an amazing experience that expanded anything that I didn't even expect to be expanded. But the thing that was really interesting to me, as this experience is happening and I'm feeling the energy, the current, they call it, I could visibly hear my ego screaming at me, like, what in the fuck are you doing, dude? This is so not you. This doesn't need to be a part of you. You've already and just berating me. And it was so interesting to finally hear the true voice of my ego, unencumbered, not trying to hide itself, not trying to present itself as something else, but that definitive, nasty, unloving egoic voice just having its way with me. And But the container was created in a beautiful way that I could hear that separation of voice, and I could discern it, and I could hear it and not act on it and not cower in the corner and be like, what am I doing here? This is stupid. Leaning into the understanding of the container that was created, the vulnerability that I was crying and I was opening and I was singing in a language I don't even understand. So, you know, it is so important to have that discernment for yourself, to listen to your intuition, to develop your intuition, to know like what you're being drawn to and what you're egoically moving towards, right? Mm-hmm. Am I forcing my way to this thing, or am I being drawn towards it? And then once mm-hmm. it's there, do you feel safe within that space to where you can explore and move outside of what your current way of thinking might have been, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it was just an amazing experience.
Interesting. And interesting enough, because you talk about the distinction of the ego's voice. Hmm. And as a hypnotherapist, I get to understand the hemispheric separation between our left and right brain and what we would call our awareness and our thoughts, or our mind, our human mind, and our conscious awareness. Hmm. And one is more expansive and one is more contractive. Well, that left brain is what we usually operate in the quote unquote regular world, and what we're meant to be in the regular world. And ultimately, that is also the ego's domain. And so it's really hard to find the ego speaking to us when we're in its domain. Anything we do to separate ourselves or to actually have a heightened level of awareness can actually distinct that part of us. And once we start doing that, we get to start living powerfully, because having an experience of finding the source of that identity, which is not really our identity, but it is an identity, then we get to understand who's speaking to us, whether it is our higher self, our awareness, or whether it is the ego that is in the container of the mind.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's where we get to actually start moving into. And it's funny that we call it mindset, and there could be down the line a more evolved word for it, because mindset has nothing to do with mind at all. It has to do with an increasing level of awareness or consciousness that you employ to be part of the way that you live.
Mm.
So what I mean by employ it is that's the way we do it. So if you know people who are logical thinkers, nothing wrong with this, when they come to a point in their lives, they turn right to their logic to make a decision, and they go to logic and facts and things like that. And then those that employ awareness to navigate through life, when they come to that same fork in the road, they go to awareness and ask, where am I being guided to? And that is a different way that we can employ a different aspect of ourselves, depending on what type of life we set out for ourselves. But what's interesting is that we know what we get when we get either side.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of times we've only seen the one side, the egoic side, because, you know, a lot of us are so abandoned from our intuition.
Well, that's the way that society is built.
Right.
Everything is a left brain concept or construct. I mean, everything is built off of logic and linearity in the physicalized world that we live in, or let's say appears to be built by that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just the
tangible,
way
like it's tangible. Yeah. It's holdable. Yeah. You know, it's right here in front of us. Well, there's something you'd mentioned before we hit record, and you were talking about an ego divorce, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I for the last maybe 10, 15 years, the popular phrase I heard was kill the ego, kill the ego, kill the ego. Ego doesn't need to be able to kill the ego. Well, I tried that, and the ego like fought back and was like, no, dude, you need me, right? Well, I'm part of you for mm-hmm. a reason, right? There's just a place that it needs to find itself, because if you just let that ego run the show for all the time, then it's used to that power. It's going to wield it, right? So it's finding that balance. So the concept of ego divorce, you know, where does that, can you explain that and how that kind of lands with what the practices you're working with?
Right. So what I get is don't identify with it because we need it to navigate through this dimension. So not make it part of your identity is something different than divorcing it or demonizing it. So it has its own job, its own function. So its function is to protect us in the physical world. It's kind of like our bodyguard. And so we don't want to actually throw out our bodyguard because our bodyguard is always assessing the risks of everything to make sure that we survive in this dimension. And that's its job. And so it does that in a certain way with certain things at stake. When we start navigating our lives through awareness, our ego will get really activated because it no longer has access to all of the data that it needs to assess the risk of a situation. And it may not even be a life or death situation. We may be acting on a hunch to quit our job, right? And then our bodyguard is like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You're my person. I'm here to protect you. What the heck are you doing? Right. And so it's there to protect us. And so it gets activated when not all the information is in the container of logic and the linear mind. And when we start living from that space of awareness, a lot of what we know is just like, well, I just know it's okay. I don't know what it is, but I know it's okay. And our bodyguard is like, whoa, 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 what do you mean you don't know what it is? And you're still moving forward with this decision. And well, you know, the last time we moved forward, you freaked out before and everything worked okay. Yeah, but that was last time. This time is different because now I still don't know what I'm talking about. So interesting enough, we get to have this conversation with it. But where that really becomes powerful not to identify with the ego is not to consider it who you are. And a good example of this came in a channel discussion that I had with a client recently who had to let go of a gardener because of some conflict that the gardener had started. And so when she got another gardener, the gardener did the yard next door. And the gardener was blowing the leaves under the bushes because he knows that she doesn't like it. He knows that that's one of the things that she didn't really like was the leaves under the bushes. So he blows the neighbor's leaves under her bushes because he knows that she doesn't like it. And she's trying to take the high road. And she's doing everything that she can. And it's triggering her because he's doing this out of spite and out of revenge. And then I said, well, you know, what's interesting is all of this information that's coming from your ego isn't even coming from you. Your ego isn't even you to begin with. So this begs the question, who is it that's at war with Juan? Because it's not you. So we can take that conversation one step forward and say, who is it that's worried about this scenario? Because it's not me. Who is it that is judging these people for X and Y and Z? Because it's not me. And in the when we realize that it's the ego that's doing the judging and that we're not identified with it or consider it part of our identity, then it stops. That stuff stops. The conflict no longer exists for us. The judgments no longer exist for us because suddenly it's not us. And it actually isn't us. It's just part of the temporary frame that we use as kind of our bodyguard in this dimension.
I love that you said that, and I experience that a lot with people that have let's call it spontaneous empathy, right? They've just spontaneously all of a sudden they feel the things and it's like, I'm feeling everything and I don't know what to do with it. Well, a lot of that stuff, you're not, it's not you, right? You've become a sponge now that you're absorbing these energies. And so it's like building your boundaries, building your discernment, getting that intuition understanding so that you know what your thoughts feel like and sound like and experience like. Because a lot of like, there's so much in this world that we're absorbing that's not ours, right? And that can be physical human interaction. But think about all the stuff that's just floating through the ethos right now. We have digital content going constantly, angry emails, disgusting text messages. I heard a comedian one time that I love to quote just because it's kind of funny to me, you know, but it's also very true. But like, I could have just got slapped with a dick pic right now, just floating etherically through the air. You know, what is that going to do to my constitution? You know, like that anger, that vehemency behind all this digital stuff that's being just thrown around our atmosphere now. You know, it's good to have that intuition to start to say like, wow, that doesn't feel like me. That doesn't feel like my emotion. Oh, that's an interesting thing. I'm going to go sit and think about that. But instead, like a lot of people just absorb all of that. And now they're tense and angry and anxious. And it's like, I don't know what to do with all this energy. Well, fucking get rid of it because it's not yours, right? Go move your body. Go do some breath work. Go sit and meditate. Like, do something, right?
Well, and I always think it's funny when you see something on social media, and I really make sure that I only allocate maybe about 5 or 10 minutes when I get a message or see something or someone sends it to me, and not to stay in there, because that part of me that isn't me would love to sit in there. But it is a bit hilarious when you see something and you go right for the comments because you're wondering how people are going to comment. And the first comment you see is, I came here for the comments. And you already know that it's good. And that is the part of us that's not us that's really interested in this. Because I tell you, I'm not interested in it.
Right.
I'd rather be out swimming in the ocean. I'd rather be doing something amazing and fun than reading comments that are, you know, like that. But yet there is a part of us that's heavily allocated in that way. So there is a lot that is happening, and that part of us does stay super busy, and it wants to stay super busy, but it's convinced us that like, if I make a comment here, then I'm protecting myself. I'm actually preserving myself. And it actually is a way of making it become consuming, of course. But the thing that we get to do is we get to actually see that there is a piece of us that can participate in us. It's not us. It's a way that we can actually not identify with it, but we can see that there is something that wants to come in and bring us in there. Because the idea is that, yeah, someday I can be talking to the angels and allowing people to go to the next level, including myself, through what comes through that channel. And the next minute, I could have my phone in front of my face consuming comments that don't necessarily enrich me, right? So there is that aspect of it. And then we sometimes put it down, sometimes we don't. But there is an aspect of that that authentically happens. And we get to understand, who is that that was so intrigued by that? Who is it that is so drawn in to go participate in that? And then when we realize it's not us, then we can actually do something with it. And that's one way we can have power over it. Because the power over it that we want is a way to get our well-being back, and a way to get a part of us back, because we're really here for the magic.
Right.
You know, anyone who's listening to our discussion and who's made it this far, they're really interested in the magic. They're interested in tapping into that part of themselves that is able to manifest and create. And you and I both know that we can do that. We have successfully done that. We know people who do it, and it is a part of it. But that part of us that isn't us wants to overconsume our attention, and that is what will eclipse us from accessing that power. So to actually no longer identify with it allows us to move from it more quickly. Certainly we can say thank you. What I do is I say thank you for being there to protect me. I appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to go back to tapping into new levels of magic, because that is more intriguing to me.
Yeah.
And we have the option. Sometimes the option isn't as resistible. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. And it doesn't mean we're better or not better, but it can be irresistible sometimes when the ego wants to take us on that journey. But the one thing that we can do when we love it, thank it, and then no longer identify it, it makes it easier to sort of slip out of the party early, slip out of its presence and say, okay, you go do your thing, and I'm going to go do what I was already doing before you distracted me.
Yeah, so that's that strengthening the intuition muscle. You know, the stronger it gets, the more you know what it sounds like. So want to honor your time, and I know we're getting close to the end here. But talk to us about the online community that you've created and the new podcast that you have coming out.
So this last year, I created an online community, and you access it by going to my website, talktomyangels.com. And I did not put a paywall on it for a reason, because I really want to create a conscious community online. There are so many people around the world who feel isolated because they can't have an expansive conversation with other people of like mind. And this gives us an opportunity to do that. In fact, one of the events that I offer once a month through the community is an event that is a meetup called Expansive Conversations, where we come and compare notes about the new levels of ourselves that we're able to access. At the end of the month, we do intention setting. But the premise of that has always been that by staying in an expansive conversation with other expansive beings, that we all then end up benefit because we can now access more of our powerful self. And that's the whole reason that that was set up. Now, I didn't realize intuitively that I was setting up something much bigger, because I'm getting ready to launch the new improved version of my podcast, Talk to My Angels. And it's going to be a channel discussion where I have a moderator who will be asking questions on whatever the topic of that episode is. And those in the community will be able to come into the production of that podcast episode, and be able to ask questions online while the angels are being channeled through me. And then that'll be all of that. So this makes the community now a discussion or a conversation where people can have conversations with each other. We can have expansive conversations in the events that we have, and we can all be part of the content that's created through the channeled discussions with the angels. And it all comes together really beautifully. And if any of your listeners want to join in and meet new people, just go to my website, talktomyangels.com, and you'll see an info sheet about that, and come and be part of it. And then there's an ecosystem where you can talk to other people and be part of the events that occur there, including getting an opportunity to be able to be present when we do the channel discussions to record the podcast as well, so that you can ask the angels questions too.
Wow, that's beautiful. When do you expect the podcast to start releasing?
Well, we're going to go into production here in the next month or two. And so I haven't really set a date for bringing it out there, because it's about building something that is quality. So we're going to start producing the episodes. And then once we have them all in a row, then we're going to start launching them on YouTube and on all the other podcast directories as well.
Beautiful. Wow, that's amazing. Well, take a look out for that. So I'll put links to ways to get a hold of Seth and his website, YouTube, stuff like that, all in the show notes for us. Seth, any parting thoughts, man? Just I love our conversations, and I mean, we could talk for another hour, but I want to honor your time. So any parting thoughts for the listeners?
Absolutely. And whenever I show up for these, I'm always thinking about the listener and the audience. I'm always thinking about that person and what will benefit them to know. And I want you to know that the reason that we do this, all of us, is because we love you. Even if we don't know you, we have discovered that we have a level of love for each other where we don't have to know you to love you. And we do. And so, wherever you are in your journey, and especially if you're having a difficult time, are feeling like life isn't worth it or life is too difficult for you right now, just take these words to know that we love you, which is why we do this. And feel that, receive it, and allow the shift to occur, because love can do everything.
Mm. Thank you so much for that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Great to see you as always. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure, Seth. Thank you so much. Please check out show notes. I'll try to post something on my social media once Seth's podcast starts to be released.
Yeah.
But please check out his website. Reach out to him. Beautiful human being. Seth, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate our conversation.
And you too. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for spending time with Seth and I. Check out the show notes for ways to get in touch with Seth, to visit his website, or maybe to book a session with him. Obeisance and love. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.